Talk 590 WVLK. Scott Johnson in for Vacationing Jack Patty on this Friday morning. It is Forensic Friday. American DA Live, Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson. I swear, Ray finds out the days I'm going to be on and just... Mary, does he have a tally going back at the office to see how many people it can pack in here on the days that I'm hosting?
I think he does.
Yeah, he's got to. Ray brought a cast of thousands again today, and we're glad to have them all. Ray, I'll let you do the introductions and set the stage for today's program.
Well, every year, we want to remind people that the holidays sometimes are not so happy for everybody. And long time friend of mine that I'm I met, because in order for me, he and I to have met, something bad had to happen. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was 1986 that Michael Turpin was murdered as a result of a scheme set up by his then wife, Elizabeth Turpin. Karen Brown and Michael Bouchard were encouraged to kill Mike, and they did. And one of the things I've learned from Don is that one of the things I don't say is I understand, because I don't. I've never been in those situations. And the other thing I learned from Don is that people in America give you about 30 days when you lost somebody to get over it. After about 30 days, they don't want to hear about it anymore. But the people who have lost loved ones, they've sensed that, and of course they quit talking about it. But that doesn't mean they don't want to talk about it. And I think one of the great fears, Don, that I heard Joyce Angelusi say was that, well, who's going to remember what a nice boy Joe was after I'm gone? And so Don Turpin's with us, and Don is a good friend, and I called him and asked him to be on, and he had something else to do, and I said, come on, give me a break. This is an annual event. And so he's here, and we're glad he's here. Don, good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here, Ray.
Okay. The other person that's with us, since not everybody has lost loved ones loses them through violence, but they're still a loss. Mm-hmm. And that's Peggy Williams from hospice, and she's a grief counselor. And
yeah, get real close to that, Peggy.
Yeah, and so we're glad Peggy's here, because we want to talk about some of the things that hospice does and can do, and some tips for people who are having a depressing holiday season. So first I want to ask Don. So Don, it's been, you know, we're coming up on 30 years since Mike was murdered. And so what tell me, how you dealing with it even today?
Like you said, Ray, it's been it'll be 29 years coming up this February.
All right.
Time does have a way of easing the pain. You don't ever lose the memories. It's just a very tough situation. When anybody loses someone, whether natural death or a violent death, it's always rough around the holiday season.
Well, there's something about the natural. You know, Scott, you can learn so much from people who have been through the kind of loss that Don has been through, and other crimes for that matter. But the strength that people have, they go and they're angry, and I know Don's having a hard time, so he's still angry. And every time this bunch of outlaws come up for parole, it's just like pulling the scab off.
Mm-hmm.
and we have to relive it. We got to refight the battle, and we got to do all of those kind of things. And that never is off, I bet, off your mind.
No, it's not. I've been through it three times, and we got another one coming up next year, or for two of them, and in 5 years we got another one coming up. So, like in a natural death, you know, you sort of expect it, but in a homicide, you've got to deal with the senseless and useless, you know, taking of someone's life, and then you got to fight through the justice system. So, it just compounds the issue, and like you say, the holiday season really is a tough time for all crime victims.
Well, how do you deal with it at Christmas time?
Well, you basically you like to think back of all the good memories, you know, that you had with your son. Mike always was very joyful and bubbly and really enjoyed the holiday season. So you sort of think back to those days and remember the good times. You try to associate yourself with family and friends and just relive the old good times and try to put the bad in the past.
Well, he was a superstar. He went to Tate's Creek.
He was the drum major. He went to UK, played in the band there, and was a very avid sports fan of UK. And
he'd like what we got going now this season.
Yes, he would. Yeah.
Peggy, tell us a little bit about hospice. You got a new CEO out there named Liz Fowler.
Yes, we do.
Now, is she a superstar?
She is.
This is the suck up part.
She is definitely a superstar. She's very personable. She's come in and hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very impressed with Liz.
Well, most everybody knows the term, the name hospice. Well, tell us a little bit about what does hospice do and what's your role as a grief counselor?
Well, from the grief counseling perspective, I often think of hospice having two parts. First, the patient care that we do for persons who have a terminal diagnosis. But the second part of that, and I call it the other side of hospice, is bereavement. In the bereavement department, we see anyone that comes through the door, anyone that gives us a call. So anyone can refer themselves to bereavement for grief services. All they have to do is call the telephone number. When they come into our services, we try to provide just a place for them to go that is confidential for them to be able to share that story, the story that never leaves your life, how your person died. You know, the path to that. We provide individual grief counseling. We provide group counseling, which I'm a huge advocate of group counseling because it helps to normalize what you're going through. I mean, you feel like you're the only person experiencing this particular feeling. When you come into a room that others are also experiencing that, you think, well, at least I'm not the only one. So I think that is very, very beneficial for most folks. And we provide a lot of grief education, because there is a lot that a person can learn through information that also helps you feel like you're not really going crazy.
Don, you that sort of hit a note with me. You sort of got a group together after Mike's death for the same reason. You kind of people who have had loved ones that have been that have died as a result of a violent death. Did you get the same sense that you're not alone?
Yes, the group we formed many years ago, which is kind of sort of inactive now, but we had a group of crime victims who we all shared the same situation. So it was made it a lot easier to talk to them. They knew what I was going through. I knew what they were going through. And we also were trying to fight the justice system at the same time. So, that was a great help to me, and I think to others at the time, to just get together and share our thoughts.
Well, you all have become serious good friends in that whole through that process.
Yes, we've developed lifelong friends. You know, it's like I say, it's been 29 years, and we all still remain pretty close.
Don Turpin, Ray Larson is with us. That's us, News Talk 590, WVLK, 25 past 9. Scott Johnson in for Vacationing Jack Patty on this Friday morning. Don Turpin is with us. Lost his son to a murder almost 29 years ago. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is here. Mary Houlihan has moved up to the table now. And Peggy Williams is here from an organization that 10 years ago I would have said, oh, they're nice. They do good work. Today I say hospice is absolutely indispensable. I have been through deaths with hospice and deaths that came so suddenly that we didn't have a chance to bring in hospice. My respect for what the people of hospice do is just unending. It's just incredible what they can do to help everyone involved during that difficult time. And that's not sucking up, Ray. That's talk to people who've dealt with hospice. They'll tell you the same thing.
Well, I understand that. Mary, we use hospice through our victim services operation. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, hospice is, I agree with Scott wholeheartedly, the hospice is such a gift to us because it's one of those referrals that we can make whenever we get a murder case for the family that there's not a system in place where they are automatically even made aware that hospice is there for them. Sometimes people think it's only there in situations where there is a known or coming death, but the fact is that they do counseling, bereavement counseling for victims of violent crime, and the victims that I work with in my job as a victim advocate with our office, the feedback that I get from the good that they do is such a huge part of helping somebody move on through something difficult. You hit on it a little bit before, Ray. The truth is not everybody can talk about death. It's a really difficult subject for so many people, and that discomfort keeps them from bringing it up with the victim or with the family that has suffered the loss. And that really can cause additional pain because everybody's dancing around an issue instead of just being their normal selves and talking. Hospice can help families bridge that gap and learn how to talk about the death and how to talk to others about the loss. And really talking about it is what keeps it from becoming a much bigger problem later for them.
I'll give you an example of, we had a young man that worked with us for a number of years as a prosecutor, Brian Matone. And Brian was coming back from Frankfort and was involved in a car crash and died. And his parents, Frank and Myna Matone, I see pretty regularly. And I want to go back to that 30-day business where people don't want to hear about it anymore. I saw Frank in the grocery store. And I said, Frank, how you doing? And he said, oh, I'm fine. And I said, hey, Frank, how are you doing? He looked at me and he says, it's day to day. And it's just that sort of thing. And Don, I mean, you want to talk about Mike today, don't you?
Oh, yes. We are always trying to keep his no memory in front of us. But like you say, though, I am a type of person that really doesn't talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. I keep it bottled up inside of me, which I understand from all sorts of experts that I shouldn't be doing that, but that's just my nature. But we always enjoy talking about Mike every chance we get and keep his pictures, you know, fresh in our memory.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I've learned in dealing with crime victims is talk about it, ask about your loved one and how are you doing, kind of thing. Peggy, talk to us a little bit about, give us some thoughts on that.
Well, obviously everything you're saying is very true. You know, your 3-day bereavement leave and then you're back to work and people are considerate for a short amount of time, but it's their life and you are at work, and so it becomes very difficult for others to know how to approach you. You know, I often hear people say, well, I don't want to mention it because I'm afraid that they're not thinking about it. And it's like, oh, they're thinking about it. You know, that's perfectly fine. You can mention it. But it is difficult to talk to a bereaved person. I mean, I will have folks say, well, I get mad if people mention it. And then 2 days later, they'll say, well, nobody's even asked me about it. So when you're in grief, you're so highly sensitive. You don't know what you want or need yourself. That's one of the reasons why we encourage folks to come in and have the opportunity to just process, you know, explore what you're thinking, share it, process it, get it out as it's recommended. And people don't frequently do this.
And you just got punked, Don.
I need it.
With family, after a while, it becomes everyone is so wounded that you don't always want to focus on it. You know, you want to have something else to talk about to your family members and your friends. So you want to have some normalcy in your life. So after a while, even with family and friends, it's not something that you bring up and discuss all of the time, but you want to. You want to talk to someone. So I often tell people it's wonderful to have that outside, impartial source. You know, someone that's not going to tell you, number one, how you should feel. People in grief get should on a lot. You know, well, you should give away the items. You should keep the items. You should sell the house. You should keep the house. Constant how you should feel. When you come in and have someone that's impartial, you get to say what you're thinking, and then you can even contradict what you're thinking with what else you're thinking. And that's okay, because that's where you are, and that's what we provide for people.
Peggy Williams of Hospice, Don Turpin is with us. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson and Mary Houlihan from his office. If you've got questions or comments, 253-5959, star 590 on AT&T, toll free 877. Sir Ray Larson, Commonwealth Attorney Mary Houlihan, Peggy Williams from Hospice, and Don Turpin.
He I is learned here. From my wife. The side seat driver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don, let me.
Glad he said that, not me.
Yeah. One, you know, when we deal with people who have had family members murdered, that we have to kind of warn them that you think that a trial is going to make everything all right, that you're going to go through this trial, and at the end of the trial, you're going to feel better about it. Tell us how that works.
Not very good. It was an eye-opening experience for me to go through the court system. I had never even sat on a jury or anything. But we sat through 30 days of testimony, and when it was over, we said, is that it? You know, and then very quickly we found out that it wasn't it. We had appeal after appeal after appeal. We've had parole hearings, and they're still coming. So it's just an experience that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy.
Well, and that's the court system is set up for defendants, and the people like Don Turpin and Mike's mom, Maggie Winstanley, are collateral damage that the court system doesn't really seem to care much about. Now, we try to do what we can do in our shop to ease people through the system, but, well, you just can't prepare people for the way it works. Basically against victims. And I always say this, when a defendant is convicted and then sentenced, that defendant has a right to talk to the judge, to say whatever he wants. You know, in Kentucky, crime victims, Don doesn't have a right to talk to the judge on behalf of his son.
You say in Kentucky, do they in other states?
Yes, in some states they have what they call the right of allocution, which means address the judge about what you think should happen. So it's I have to say that the criminal justice system, a lot of the crime victims say it's the criminal system because there is no justice in it. which I think is pretty clever and pretty appropriate.
Peggy, one of the things that all of this leads to is goes back to what you said about people getting should on. I try to say we say that as clearly as we possibly can, because I had to chew out Ray about something similar once. But that leads back there, because the point here, I think, is that every person's reaction to every death is different. There is no form that you can fit us all in. My reaction to my father's death from emphysema is different to my reaction from my grandson's suicide. And those are different than Don's reaction to going through this trial.
Correct. So you said it exactly right, that your reaction to any death in your own life mm-hmm. is unique, you know, but depending on that relationship. And then even in families, you know, the parents of the child, they each react in their own way. So it does, one of the things people come in and they say, well, I feel as if no one understands. I feel very isolated. And I have to validate that. You are. I mean, grief is one of the most isolating human conditions you can have, because no one really understands how you are feeling. So that's very correct.
Mary?
Well, and that's what Ray was just talking about in regard to trials and getting through the system. There are all sorts of things that are exacerbating to the pain that a victim is going through in regard to the criminal justice system. But the underlying reality is, there's not a punishment, even if we could get rid of the parole process and the appeal process and all of these things that cause additional pain, the reality is there's not going to be something that feels like justice to a family that's lost someone unless we could produce that person back whole and without injury. And since that can't occur, the reality that they experience after a trial is that they hit the fact that the loss is exactly the same. It did nothing to solve that loss. And so working, you know, off of what we've been talking about today, some of the things that the people out there listening can do when they're talking to somebody that has suffered a loss is, you know, you don't have to focus on the loss. Ask about something wonderful from the past. Well, what did Mike like to do at Christmas? That's a great question. Not how did he die, but what did he like to do when he was alive? And don't be afraid to talk about the person, thinking it's only going to remind the victim of their loss. It's actually going to give them a chance to talk about the life and the beauty that they remember in their heart.
We often hear the word closure. I'm not sure that there is such a thing. I'm not sure that we want such a thing.
Correct. I think the difficulty with working with survivors in the criminal system is that they're constantly, as we've said, re-traumatized. I mean, they tell their story, but they're having to tell it over and over and over. And not the story of the person's life, but the story of that death, mm-hmm. that crime.
Peggy Williams from Hospice is with us, along with Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson, Mary Houlihan from his office. Don Turpin is here as well. One more segment if you'd like to join us, 253-5959. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is here. Mary Houlihan from his office, Peggy Williams from Hospice. Don Turpin, the father of Michael Turpin, a murder victim just about 29 years ago here in Fayette County. And we are talking about grief, particularly we've been talking about when it comes as a moment of violence, as part of a commission of a crime, particularly because of the overall theme. But Peggy, before we get done here, I want to remind people that too often when people hear, for say someone with a terminal diagnosis, when people hear they've called hospice, they think, oh, they must only have days. And I've made it my life's work to make sure people understand that that's not the way it works.
Right.
One of our experiences was a 10-month long process where those people became a part of our family and said, we'll evaluate after 2 years and see where we're going. Well, she didn't last 2 years, but what a wonderful service they provided for us in the meantime. It's not a last-second thing.
And well, I do have to do a bit of a disclaimer these days with all the changes with the health care, in that it is quite a bit more qualified than that. Yes, those were the days that when health care provided all things to all people. Now, we definitely still go in. We are still that support mm-hmm. at a time when you need support in your life. And it's just a fantastic opportunity to spend the time with your person knowing that somebody's got your back.
Right.
You know, somebody's going to be there, 24-hour contact.
Exactly. Exactly. Mary, where were you going next?
Well, I just wanted to see if Peggy could tell us a little bit about some of the services that are currently available from hospice so that any of our, anybody that's hurting from grief that might need a way to reach out could use some assistance in getting through the holidays. And so, Peggy, if you'll tell us about some of your upcoming offerings, that'd be great.
Okay, the first thing that I would really like to get out there is our phone number. It's 859-277-2700. That is the Hospice Center for Grief and Education. And by calling that number, you can hear any time about the groups that are currently being offered. One of the things that is ongoing is a monthly coping through loss. It's the first Tuesday of each month. It's a one-time educational program that anyone can come in and attend. From that, you can learn more about the other programs if you decide that you would like to become part of the bereavement service program. What unique program that we offer is called Finding Balance in Grief. One of our bereavement counselors is also a qualified yoga instructor and a meditation instructor, and she has blended those two skills into providing a program that helps people. While just quoted, it says, understand and experience the transformative power of grief through breathing and meditation. So that is unique to our particular office, and it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for folks that want to look at it from a different perspective. We do ongoing spouse loss support groups. Those are one of our most attended groups because the death of a spouse, well, any death is life-changing, but the death of a spouse is a 24-hour-a-day life-changing experience. And then we have more, but like I said, if you would call the 277-2700 number, you can get an updated list of our upcoming groups.
Okay.
We've had a, in our office, we've had a relative of one of our employees who had a baby that died. And I became acquainted with something called Compassionate Friends.
Correct.
What is that
all? The Compassionate Friends actually it's an organization. They meet at our building, so you could still get information by calling the 277-2700 number. But it's a support group for parents, sibling, grandparents who've experienced the death of a child. And it is not led, it's not facilitated by a professional counselor. It is strictly made up of community folks who have gone through that experience, which sadly makes you the expert.
And then you have the one that we've known of children of our friends who have lost a child through a miscarriage or a stillborn child, and you all, there's another group that deals with that.
Right. They also meet at our building. We try to provide the space for community programs to meet, and that's a perinatal loss grief support group. Again, you can call our number and get information on any of these groups that we feel are very beneficial. So that's why we provide the space for these other organizations to meet. One of the things that we do also is called creative coping. And that will start in March, and it's a weekly group for families with school-aged children. The children, we break out into separate groups, children into their specific groups, adults in a group, and many grandparents and guardians find themselves raising children now that they did not expect to be raising. So here they are at a time when they don't expect that, plus they're trying to deal with a child in grief. So this provides the unique opportunity for them to come in as a family and then break down into specific groups to help normalize what they're going through.
Well, we sure appreciate all the work that you all do. And Don, have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Ray. Appreciate having me on.
Don Turpin, thanks for coming in today. Peggy Williams from Hospice, 277-2700 for more information from them. Ray Larson, Mary Houlihan, as always, we'll see you guys. We'll see Ray at least next Friday. I don't know when Houlihan comes back, but we always like to have her. All right? She's always welcome. I'm Scott Johnson, Jack.